burden is light. But today, I'd like to kind of look into this scripture that God gave me to kick off my message, and that was it's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 4. Got tears in my eyes. Verse 7. And we're going to do a little something here. The scriptures are going to go up there. The first scripture would be 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 7. Now, I know this is a little, it's a little, you know, nice and easy to look at on the front page. Then you get to the back page, and it's a little crazy. But, yeah, those kids like it. They like crazy. Anyways, but I'm not going to really confuse you too much on the back there. But I do want to explain a couple of things that we're going to get into. This is like a part one and a part two thing, but I'm going to try to squeeze a little bit of it in together and not take too much time doing it. And part one, what I want us to see is that what God has really done to us when we ask Jesus Christ to be our Lord and Savior. Jesus said, you must be born again. And what does that mean to be born again? And Nicodemus asked him the question, and he said, I'm already come out of my mother's womb. How can I go back and be born again? And Jesus said, that which is spirit is spirit, that which is flesh, a little later on. But he also said, well, to be born again is like the wind that blows through the trees. You see the trees moving, but you don't see the wind, but you know something's happening. So when you ask Jesus to come into your life, the unseen force of the Holy Spirit and the love of God and the grace of God and the mercy of God and the blood that Jesus shed on the cross, that unseen realm comes into your life, and it's spiritual, because God is a spirit. So when you get born again, your spirit man is a part of you that changes, and that's what I want to explain a little bit on the first part. And I'm going to have a little bit of help, because when we first started hearing about this message, I don't know, 7, 8 years ago or so, it was like, gee, I never heard it that way before. And I heard a couple different preachers preaching it, so I looked it up, researched it. I like to research everything. And recently somebody, I think it was in 2016, put the one teaching from this one teacher that we like to listen to, Andrew Womack. He's kind of like a Texas hick guy, but really down to earth. And, you can't agree with everything everybody says, but I agree with about 95% of what he says, 98, 99, whatever. And so somebody put together this little three-part YouTube version of his message. And this is part one and part two. We're only going to show part one, and then I'm going to talk a little bit about part two, about how this... I did this teaching a couple years ago, and I used three gentlemen. Remember, it was, I think it was AJ, I think it was Justin at the time, and our brother over there, Vincent. I forgot which one you were. What were you, spirit, soul, or body? You were the body, baby. Oh, yeah, you're the body. That's right. And then AJ was the spirit, I think, and Justin was in the middle there. That was fun, though. But I'm not going to ask gentlemen to come up this time. I'm going to kind of just explain it and use my little laser pointer here, which is pretty cool. Okay, so the opening verse. Father, we thank you for your word, first of all. It's the bread of life. Lord, we are hungry and thirsty for more of you, your presence, and you've revealed yourself through your word and through your Holy Spirit to us. So we ask you to have your way today. Open the eyes of our heart. Open the eyes of our understanding. And grant us the wisdom and the revelation knowledge of your presence in our lives. Because that's the most important thing you want, Lord God, is you want the love that you have for us to be made known to us and for us to just have that love back to you. To love the Lord our God with all our heart, all our soul, all our mind, and all our strength. And then to love one another and love our neighbors as we love ourselves and as you have loved us. So really, it's all about love, Father. And so we thank you for that today. And we just ask that your love and your presence will be made known to us through your word and through this simple teaching. In Jesus' name, amen. And amen. So we see our first scripture here. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So what is this treasure he's talking about? I believe in 1 Thessalonians 5:23, our next verse, that he's talking about this treasure that was deposited into our lives when we became born again, when we accepted Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior. And in this verse 23, it says, now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit and soul and body be presented blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So here we see the splitting up of spirit, soul, and body. Very simply put, we are a spirit with a soul living in a body. Very hard for us to conceive because we're so used to just living in the flesh, our five senses, what we see, what we smell, what we taste, what we hear, what we touch, the physical realm out here. We've known that all our lives until we have that born-again experience where something happens to us. And here's a quick little explanation. I think it's about a five-minute little video clip of this spirit, soul, and body presentation that Andrew Womack did. And this is just, I mean, he did it for, I think, 3 months and, you know, half-hour programs every day for 3 months when we first heard this. And we just got engulfed with the understanding. It opens up so many scriptures. That's why all the scriptures are on the back, because all of a sudden you start seeing all these scriptures in this word, oh, in a little different light than you may have seen them before. So let's just watch that clip for 5 minutes, and then we'll move on from there. Okay. All right. So, I will have you look at the piece of paper in front of you. And sometimes I need glasses, sometimes I don't. It's really cool. But okay, as he's downloading that, that's kind of what God did. He downloaded all of heaven into you. He didn't leave anything out. What does it say? It's in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. It says, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Oh, we got it. Okay. So, well, oh, he's going to show the clip. He's going to show it, though, right? That's the second part. That's the back of the page. The front is the actual video clip that I sent you. Okay. It's in your messages from Tony. Okay, anyways. No, it's all right. So let's look at the paper while he's doing that. All right. It's just, Google Andrew Womack, Spirit, Soul, and Body, and you'll look at it, you'll see this little, it's a 5 minute part one, there's a part two, part three. This is part two, part three is another one. Okay, but what I wrote in here, if you, that's the back of the page. If you look at the front of your page where I have the little one circled, the part over here where God comes into man, we'll see. The main thing God showed me, and I wrote it down this morning, that he offers constant communication. God offers constant communication to us through his Spirit. It's a spiritual connection. I mean, you may say, oh yeah, well see, God speaks to me through, like I'll see a stop sign or something, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit will start saying, you should stop that thing over here and do this. And he'll speak to me using physical stuff, but it's in my spirit where he speaks to me and in my mind where I receive what he's speaking to me. It's coming. There it is. We have a headless man.
This is Andrew Womack, and I'm going to be talking about spirit, soul, and body.
All right, 5 minutes.
Which may not sound the most exciting thing to you on the surface, but to me, this is one of the most exciting things that the Lord has ever shown me. 1 Thessalonians 5:23 says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly, and I pray God your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now that is so obvious. We are made up of a spirit, soul, and body. And the body is very obvious. If you go look in a mirror, that's the part that you see. Now you would be speaking to my soul, which is my mental, emotional part. Some people define soul as your mind, will, and emotions, and I think that that certainly is true. I don't think that it's all-inclusive. There's more to it. I believe that your conscience is a part of your soul. Your soul certainly includes your mental, emotional part. I believe it's what most people call their personality. If I was to touch your physical body, you can feel that. But I can also touch you by words, and it can touch your emotions. It can either make you glad or sad. It can make you angry. You can say words and hurt a person. So the body and the soul are two areas that every one of us are in touch with constantly, but the spirit part of us is a totally different matter. Jesus said this in John chapter 3 when he says, "That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the spirit is spirit." And there is no direct connection between the two. You cannot in a physical, natural way feel your spirit. The spirit cannot be accessed in any natural way, and herein lies one of the great problems in the Christian life. The Spirit is the part of us that God communicates with. And the Spirit is the part of us that all of the life and the power of God flows through. In James chapter 2, verse 26, the scripture there says, "As the body without the Spirit is dead, so faith without works is dead also." And that just makes it very clear that the life-giving part of you is the Spirit. One of the greatest keys to walking with the Lord, for me, has been to understand this reality of spirit, soul, and body, that the spirit realm cannot be seen or felt. The only way to discern what is spiritual truth is through the Bible, to just take it and believe it. Jesus said this in John chapter 6, verse 63. He says, "The flesh profits nothing. It's the spirit that quickens. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life." It's revealing to us spiritual reality. And if you want to know what your spirit is like, then you have to go to God's Word to find it out. You can't just go by an emotion, by some type of perception. You have to go to God's Word. Here's another passage of Scripture in James chapter 1, and in verse 23 it says, "For if any be a hearer of the Word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass." This is talking about a mirror. "For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whosoever looketh into the perfect law of liberty," talking about God's Word, specifically the revelation of the gospel, "and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed." This passage of Scripture is likening the Bible unto a mirror that you look in to see your spiritual face, to see what you are in the Spirit. You, with your eyes, have never looked directly into your face. You've always looked at a reflection or a representation, but you've gotten to where you trust that. Well, the Word of God is a perfect reflection of what spiritual truth is. You can't sit there and say, "Well, I think that, you know, all my mascara is on and that my face is fixed, my hair is combed, and I'm ready to go." You can't go by how you feel. You have to go look in that mirror and then you trust what you see. Well, it's the same thing with the Word of God. The Word of God gives you a perfect picture of who you are in your spirit. And it's the only way.
To bring them up yet. But just that little bit right there, when I first started hearing this kind of a thing, I was like, wow, I just never really realized that I'm a spirit with a soul living in a body. And the spiritual part of me is the part that God wants to connect with and flow through when I get the Word of God in my life. And I didn't, he went away too quick, so I couldn't get the picture of the Bible here with the mirror on it, you know. But that's really good. But on the back page, if you turn around, we see that, and the supportive scriptures that I put in there, I may not get to every one of them today, but they're there for you to look up and read at your convenience. But the basic thing that he was saying was that this guy over here, this spirit man, this guy right there, that's the part of us that got born again, renewed. Because just by process of elimination, the physical body, it says, when it says that all things become new, and that was the scripture it's 1 Corinthians 5:17, I believe. Where did I put it on the sheet? 2 Corinthians, I'm sorry. Abba. No, that's joined with the Spirit, one Lord. But the one I wanted to say is, well, maybe I didn't put it down. But anyways, it's a familiar scripture to us. It's, we become new creatures, old things pass away, and all things become new when we get born again. Therefore, anyone who is in Christ, old things have passed away, and all things have become new. We are a new creation in Christ. Well, our body didn't change. You know, like he says it a little crazy. He goes, well, if we were fat before we got born again, we're still fat after we get born again. And our mind didn't change if we didn't know math, calculus before we got born again. We don't all of a sudden know math calculus after we're born again. So what all things became new. What things became new to us? Well, it was that spirit man that became new. Because, just very quickly, when you realize in the Garden of Eden, when God said to Adam, if you eat of this tree, Adam and Eve, if you eat of this tree of knowledge, you will surely die. And the devil said, oh, you won't die. But they ate of the tree, and they died. But they didn't die physically. They were walking around with a dead spirit that was still existing. They did not die. But they were spiritually dead because their communication with God was cut off. And real life, only true life, comes from God. The Zoe life, the life that is eternal, the life that is the substance of real life, is eternal life, not temporal life. This is more of an instructional message I'm trying to give today, just kind of a teaching to try to open up a little door for you to understand certain scriptures and certain ways that the Apostle Paul especially talked about in the New Testament. And some of those ways that he talked about how our spiritual man is the most important part of us rather than our physical body was so many scriptures, so many. But look at that one that you said under Abba, 1 Corinthians 6:17. It says that he that is joined to the Lord is one spirit there with him. He that is joined to the Lord is one spirit. So when the Spirit of Christ, you know, you always hear it in the Bible, in Christ, we are in Christ, and Christ is in us, and we have the mind of Christ, and all things that pertain to life and godliness have been given to, how, where? Well, it's that connection that we have with our Abba Father that gives us all of that. And also in John 17:21, right next to it, Jesus prayed this very prayer. He said, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, so that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. So how is Jesus one with the Father? He said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. You see, there was this connection that Adam and Eve broke by disobedience. Dead spirit now. Dead spirit with no connection. Lifeless spirit still existed, but it was lifeless. It had no life in it. It was just an earthly spirit. It was just... Now, the sensual realm, the see, taste, touch, feel realm, was all that they knew. So that's all that their mind was relating to was Mother Nature or the sky or the, you know, this is where man gets all these worships from. Worship the sky, the sun, the moon, because they're disconnected from the real living God. So they make up a God of their own. That's where all the religions came from that aren't true religions. But the true connection is the same one that Jesus had with the Father. Because he said that, Father, that they may be one as we are one. You think Jesus' prayers got answered? Yeah. Of course. Everything he prayed, of course they got answered. So God did make us one. How did he do that? Well, he did it through the imparting of his Holy Spirit into our lives. Galatians, up in the upper right-hand corner of your sheet, Galatians 4:6. Is that 4 or 9?
4.
Okay. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. So, you know, in that man in the middle there, how he said it's like, you're on the front page, he said it's, you know, that's, your soulless realm is your mind, your will, your emotions. I also believe the word heart is included in that part of you. Your soulless innermost being, out of the innermost parts, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. Jesus said this. And John 7:38, I don't have that on here. But it was the great day of the feast, on the last day of the great feast, the Feast of Tabernacles. Jesus stood up and he cried with a loud voice. Just picture Jesus, you know, standing up screaming with a loud voice over all these Jews. That was one of the feasts where they had to come to Jerusalem, one of the traveling feasts where they all had to come to Jerusalem to celebrate. At the end of that feast, you'll see it in John 7:38, Jesus stood up and cried with a loud voice, if any man thirst, let him come to me and drink. And the water I have, it's not just regular water, it's eternal life. And he said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. And this he spoke of the Spirit because he was not yet given, because Jesus had not been crucified and ascended yet. So think about that. Just before, and the Feast of Tabernacles. What is the word tabernacle means dwelling, a place of dwelling. Jesus stood up at that Feast of Dwelling, the God dwelling with man, and said, if you come unto me, we're going to make our home in you. He said, this is, he spoke of the Spirit. And this is what he meant, that he who believes on me, as the scripture said, out of his heart will flow rivers of living. Oh, I was going back to the other scripture, but yeah, out of his heart, God, you're great, man. These guys are fast up there. They kept up with Pastor Santos pretty good last week, too. But see, this is what I'm saying, is that we have that in us. But most of the time, we're just dealing with and reacting to the sensual realm. The lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life. If these things dominate you, the love of the Father is not in you. The Bible says it in 1 John. I put that scripture over on the lower left-hand side of the page 2 there. Because the world, the flesh, and the devil are always attacking this part of us right here. And this guy in the middle is one that has to choose. Am I going to look into the Word of God and believe that His Holy Spirit is one with my spirit, that I am fully, one-third part of me is fully God, fully Holy Ghost, fully filled with the fullness of God? You know, we're not God, but we're filled with His presence. We're filled with His Spirit in this part. Our spirit is perfect, mature, complete, elevated, recreated, righteous, and holy and pure. And you can see that. There's so many scriptures that say that. One of the really, really good ones. Well, look in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 16. Here's another part that when you read this, a part of you probably says, How does this happen? But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor, see, there's the senses. Eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man, not even to the soulish realm, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him. But God has revealed them to us through His Spirit. You see? It's not the physical eye. It's not the soulish, the heart realm, the emotions, the feeling. I don't feel God. You know, we have songs, I feel Jesus. Oh, I feel Him. I got goosebumps. See, I must have felt Jesus. That's a very shallow way to determine if God is speaking to you or not. And you can be deceived easily in that realm by people, by the devil, by the world system, by vain philosophy and lies and deception, because he's a manipulator, a deceiver, and he'll use that realm to trick you. He'll use people to keep you so busy in that guy's realm right there, looking in that mirror, that you'll just cut off, because your mind is the one that has the choice of who you're going to follow today. If God is God, follow him. Anyways, for the Spirit searches all things. You have a question, an unanswered mystery, a hidden bit of wisdom that you need to find. He will reveal them to you. Thank you. I beseech you. Oh, wait, we're skipping over to the next one yet. Did we go through 9 already? 9 through 16? But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. How many people have you heard? You try to talk to him about Jesus, try to talk to him about God and heaven. They think it's foolish. They think it's a crutch. They think you're out of your mind, because the devil has them so deceived into thinking of just the physical realm and the soulish, emotional, you know, realm, that they're being blinded. Oh, we got scripture still? 9 through 16 still? Okay. Sorry. Well, I think we're still on 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 9 through 16. Really good stuff. I won't get all through these. You start reading all these scriptures and you start seeing what I'm talking about how spirit, soul, and body opens up a door to understand what a lot of Apostle Paul was saying about how God deals with us and relates to us through the Spirit. And then the second part of it is the renewing of the mind, but I didn't get to that yet. So for what man knows the things of a man, this is where we're going to segue into the renewing of our mind. For what man knows the things of man except the Spirit of man which is in him? Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So don't go to man first. Don't go to the phone. Don't go to the internet. Don't go to Facebook or Twitter or whatever else. Don't let that enter into your sense realm and then make a decision with your soulless realm, your emotions, your will, based on that realm. Because the Spirit of God is the one, Can we just go back to that one verse real quick? There we are. Because even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Number one and only source for truth is the revelation of the Holy Spirit and the bearing witness of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Now the next verse. I'm sorry. Go ahead. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us of God. One scripture says, we know all things. I think it's in 1 John chapter 2. It says, beloved, you need that a man should teach you. You know all things. The anointing that you receive shall teach you. You know all things. And this verse corroborates that, that you have been given freely all things. And you know all things. Now you're probably saying like, huh? I don't know all things. This part of you does right over here. This guy, because he's joined to the Lord and he's one with the Lord, you have all things, you know all things, and what's been blocking it is this guy in the middle who hasn't had his mind renewed yet. Are we on verse 16 yet? 12. Let's keep going real quick. These things we speak, not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but that which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual things. Next verse. But the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him, nor can he know them, because they're spiritually discerned. Next verse, 15. But he who is spiritual judges all things, yet he himself is rightly judged by no one. Why? Because God is the source. You're listening to what God is saying, not what everybody else is saying. So nobody can judge you. If the Lord reveals a secret to you and the Lord is speaking to you and you're speaking to the Lord, it doesn't. You can't judge anybody else and nobody else can judge you, really, because you got the right thing going on. Because look at the next verse says, verse 17. Verse 16, I'm sorry. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he may instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Where do we have the mind of Christ? We don't have the mind of Christ in this guy right here. We don't have him. He's confused. This guy has the mind of Christ. All those scriptures I put over there on the right-hand side. Time I got, sweetie. What time is it? 15 after? Oh, good, okay. So, this is so cool. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. 1 John 4, 17. The mind of Christ. I have the mind of Christ. Say that to yourself. I have the mind of Christ. Not in my physical brain, right? Not in my emotions. Not in my sensual nature, my see, feel, touch, hear, smell nature, but in my spirit. In this earthen vessel, I have a treasure. That treasure is Him. He's our treasure. That's the treasure Paul's talking about. Love has been perfected among us in this, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment. Because as He is, so are we in this world. He's perfect. He's holy. He's righteous. And He became sin so that we could have His righteousness. Where do we get His righteousness? Not by this guy behaving and doing the right thing, because it doesn't come by works of righteousness, but by His grace alone, Abba. By His grace alone, we're saved. Now this guy in the middle, he's the troublemaker. He's the guy that gets confused a lot. Now we can go to that Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. So how do we get this guy over here, and you can look at those other scriptures, we are holy and pure, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 22 or 23, it says that, put on the new man, which is created in righteousness and true holiness. What new man is created in righteousness and true holiness? Well, that guy over there, your spirit. Your spirit is pure and holy and righteous. And there's nothing you can do to change that once you've been born again. No sin can change it. No words can change it. No other person on this planet can change it. Because you've been sealed by the Holy Spirit of promise in that man right there. Doesn't mean this guy's going to do right. Doesn't mean this guy's got the right kind of thinking yet. But to get this guy lined up with this guy in the middle, and he put a little valve there because it's like turning on and off a valve that brings the spiritual realm into the physical realm. We turn it on and off a lot. I know we do. A guy cut me off the other day, and I think I turned it off for a minute. Anyways, so, I mean, but it wasn't, I didn't curse. I just got really mad, though, and I wanted to do something to him, but anyways. But then I opened the valve back up. And woo, love, mercy, grace. Oh, there goes I, except for the grace of God. I probably done that to other people. I know, Holy Spirit starts. I open the veil back up and let the Holy Spirit start talking to me. You know, your husband gets you the wrong way. Your wife gets you the wrong way. The kids get you the wrong way. Close that veil off and you want to give him a piece of your mind instead of the mind of the Christ that's in you, you know. So this is how it works. So in Romans chapter 1, so it says, Romans 12, 1 and 2, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, by his mercy, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world. See, this guy over here, that's what he wants to do. That's what he loves. He loves being conformed to the world. The Bible says, love not the world, neither the things of the world. If the love of the world is in you, the love of the Father is not in you, in 1 John. If I'm loving the things of the world, I'm feeding this guy's indulgences and his sinful nature, and we'll look in Galatians for a minute and see what the difference between the flesh and the spirit is. You see, that's, I think, our number one enemy now. It's the flesh. Because sin has been taken care of. Jesus became sin for us. Sin shall have no more dominion over you because you're not under the law anymore. You're in Christ. And the grace and the freedom that Christ has brought you has forgiven you for every sin you've committed, every sin you're committing right now, and every sin you're ever going to commit. That's a hard thing to accept for some people because they're not used to that kind of love. They never got that kind of unforced rhythm of grace in their lives. It could have been forced, could have been negligent, could have been not there at all, could have been a perverted, weird kind. None of that kind of love has ever existed because it only comes from God. It's the only place it can come from. But we have not been conformed to this world, but transformed. How do we not be conformed to this world? How do we not let this guy and those emotions and the worldly things that happen to us affect our lives and get that whole, that spirit man more in line with who we really are? Well, we are transformed by the renewing of our mind, that you may prove the good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Transformed, metamorphosized, you know, like he said about the butterfly. That transformation word right there is from metamorphosis, which we get the word metamorphosis from, metamorpho, where that caterpillar crawls, goes in a cocoon, and struggles to get out of the cocoon. In that struggling, he's building wings. That's how they build their wings. That's why you never try to get somebody to hurry them up along the way as the process of sanctification is working in their lives. You let the Holy Spirit let them dig out of the old cocoon so that old things can pass away and all things become new in their lives so they can get wings to fly. And he said, like a butterfly life. So you can fly instead of a crawl in this life. So that valve is our mind, our will, our emotions, the things we turn on, things we turn off. We're supposed to walk in that newness of life. Look at Ephesians chapter 3. We'll go to chapter 3 before chapter 4. It's at the bottom of the page 2, underneath that new guy. Ephesians chapter 3, starting in verse 14. Here again, Paul, a few scriptures that you may have read before that all of a sudden may have a little different meaning now that we're understanding more about spirit, soul, and body. For this reason, I bow my knees. I pray this prayer. I love this prayer. I pray these prayers all the time. The prayers of the Bible, especially in the New Testament to me, are some of the best things you can do because it puts things right in line with the way things really are. So Paul saying this, for this reason, I bow my knees. You can say this, for this reason, you bow your knees when you pray for other people too. To the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, verse 15, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, verse 16, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man. You see, not this guy, not the outer guy, but the inner man, through his Spirit to the inner man, the soulish realm. That's how you get your mind renewed, is by letting the Spirit of God, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love, and that's the foundation, that's the basis for everything that God ever does. Anything he ever speaks to you, anything he ever asks of you, anything he ever leads you into, is all based on love, because God is love. That's the one thing the devil wants to destroy more than anything else, is the love of God that's in our hearts. He wants to break that love between us and God. He can't do it, but he can deceive us. He can come into this realm over here, into this physical realm, into this sensual realm, this lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, pride of life, things we see, taste, touch. He can come into that realm, touch our emotions, get us all flabbergasted all about things and get us all cut off like God doesn't even love you anymore. Look what you did. Look at this person did to you. How come, if God is really good and love, why do all these things happen to you? Blah, 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 blah. And he just comes in that realm and he gets you to touch and feel and have emotions and all that kind of stuff. Now, I understand everybody has emotion. I'm not trying to say don't have emotion, but don't be guided by your emotion. Don't let emotions be the final word. Don't let your emotions dominate who you really are. This guy over here, who you really are, perfect, righteous, holy, beloved. You're a person, you're a child of the Most High God, you know, as many people say. That you may be able to comprehend with all the saints what is the width, the length, the depth, and the height of what? Of the love of God. To know the love of Christ which passes knowledge. That you may be filled, here again, with some of, with part of, with a little bit of once in a while. All. How do you do it with all? Keep that valve open so this guy can control this guy. Renew the mind, the words we speak, the things we thoughts we think. You know, the one scripture also in Corinthians, I think it is also, it says, the weapons of warfare are not carnal but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. Bringing every thought into captivity to the mind of Christ. Bringing every stray thought that this confused guy thinks all the time because he's torn between two worlds. You know, those people who have 1 foot over here, 1 foot over here, and in the middle, they're unstable because they have kind of a schizophrenic dual personality. Because it's like a wave, James chapter 1. It's like a wave tossed to and fro. If you're double-minded, how do you get double-minded? Well, you mind the things of the Spirit sometimes, and then sometimes you mind the things of the flesh, and you turn on and off that valve all the time and play games with holiness and righteousness and the things that God has already given to us, and then that's why we end up in trouble. I'm not saying I have to condemn anybody, but maybe you can make us aware. Oh, that's what I'm doing. See, I just want to instruct us what spirit, soul, and body can mean to us when we understand it. So this guy in the middle, if he's got part of himself over here that goes after the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes, and this guy over here is, you know, perfect, mature, complete. He has love, joy, peace, meekness, temperance, long-suffering. We'll go to Galatians in a second. I'll show you the difference real quick. So we might be filled with the fullness of God. Next verse, 20. Now to him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that works in us. Ask or think. Notice think is in there. So you're not trying to don't just say your prayers and ask God for stuff. You got to think right. If you don't think right, your words that you told God are going to be negated by your stinking thinking, as one of those preachers on TV talk about. By your stinking thinking. It's going to negate. Unbelief is going to come in, and you're not going to think right when you ask according to the power. Because if you're not asking according to the power that's in us, if you're not asking according to this, you're just asking to fulfill it upon your own lusts. Says it in James chapter 4, where do wars and coming from among you? Don't they come from the members in your own body that war against yourself? That's the flesh and the spirit fighting each other. That's the big enemy, the flesh. Devil's been taken care of. Sin's been taken care of. Devil's been defeated. You know, he goes about like a roaring lion seeking whom may devour, but just sounds like a roaring lion. He has no teeth, you know, and that kind of thing. But he seeks vulnerable people. He seeks people who are living in this realm over here and are confused in this realm over here, and he can get a control of them. And that's why so much garbage is happening in the world. That's why ISIS goes and cuts people's heads off. Because Satan is controlling them in this realm here because they have no connection with God. Because they're not born again, have not been reconnected with love, joy, peace, mercy, grace. So all they do is they just do Satan's dirty work. And the last verse, 21, to him be glory in the church of Christ, all generations forever and ever, and amen. Okay, now let's go to Galatians. Okay. I've been known to keep people a little bit too long. So anyways, the Lord has given me a nice little check valve over there. Anyways, Galatians chapter 5. Let's start in verse 16 if we can. And we're going to go all the way to verse 21. I think Ron is follows along with us like this. It can get frustrating to a guy up there when a preacher starts talking about different stuff, but he's awesome. So I say then, now here's another part. You might read the scripture and you're like, huh? How do I do this? Walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, if you've read that scripture before many times, you're like, I want to walk in the Spirit, Lord. I want to walk in the Spirit so I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. I want to walk in the Spirit so I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh. Well, how do I do that? Well, that's why this makes it a little bit simpler. Because when you look in the Word and you know who you are in the spirit realm and you, with your mouth, confess, speak the words of God, think the words of God, talk about the words of God more than anything else, always have the Word of God prevailing in your life more than soap operas, more than entertainment, more than football, more than hockey, more than baseball, more than what kind of curtains we're going to put up, more than the clothes I'm going to wear, more than the next new piece of technology I'm going to buy, more than all this other junk in the world. When we have our thoughts and our hearts and our affections set on those things above, not on those things on the earth, that's when we'll be able to walk in the Spirit and not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So we have a choice. This guy in the middle can choose to go after the flesh or go after the Spirit. So really, it's just a choice. You don't have to do anything to get the power to walk in the Spirit. It's already there. Jesus already paid for it, already gave you His Spirit. We saw that before. If the Spirit of Christ dwells in you, Romans chapter 8, if the same Spirit that raised Christ dwells in you, you can mortify the deeds of the flesh and walk in the Spirit. You'll read Romans 8 on your own. You'll see it in a whole different light now that you have this little instructional teaching of spirit, soul, and body. Okay, continuing on, verse 17. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit. This guy doesn't like this guy. This guy doesn't like that guy. Flesh likes itself. It's all about self-centeredness. It's all about selfishness. It's all about what I want, what I feel, only me. It may be cloaked in like little, I bring flowers and I do this and I do that, but deep inside it's just, I want to please myself and I want you to please me. Okay, anyways. For the flesh lusts against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. These are contrary one to the other. So that you do not do the things that you wish, because they're fighting. See, if you allow that fight to continue on, you're not going to be able to do that. You're going to be unstable. Divided mind is a man who's divided thoughts is unstable in all his ways. That's what it says in James. Next verse. But if you're led by the Spirit, you're not under the laws. Do this, don't do that. What do I got to do? What do I got to do? That physical guy with the sense realm, with the eyes, smell, touch, he wants to always know what he can do, what he can do, what he can do. Works of righteousness. What can I do? And there's a lot of people who do nice works of righteousness, but they don't have the truth in the spiritual realm. Next verse, verse 19. Now the works of the flesh are evident, which are these. Here it is. Here's a good way to know which one of these guys is in control, which one of these guys you've been feeding. You know, if you've been feeding this guy more, or you've been getting food from the heavenly bread, manna from heaven. The works of the flesh are evident, which are this: adultery, fornication. Starts off with the body, with sexual stuff, because that's what most people get. I mean, just look at TV once in a while. That's all they do is the outer. I mean, sex sells. They even sell cars. You know, you love Subaru, and they want you to fall in love with a car. It's like so stupid. It's a form of adultery and fornication to me in the first place. People, idolatize their possessions. Fornication, uncleanness, lewdness. Yeah, look up every one of these words. They're just idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousy, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies. There's more. Envies, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like. This guy, oh my gosh. He looks so innocent there, doesn't he? So do you sometimes. But sometimes, if that flesh is in control, it doesn't look so innocent anymore. And I told you time past, those who practice the sins will not inherit the kingdom. Practice, why? Because if you're constantly practicing these things, you have not been born again yet. You have not been renewed in your mind yet. You have not seen what a born-again experience can do to you. So if people say they're born again, but they're living this realm here, and they're doing all this kind of stuff, they're not born again. Because by your fruit, you'll be able to tell. You'll bear fruit in the kingdom. Watch what the fruit is next. We'll get there. Verse 22. I know. Hang on. Sorry. She's telling me to got to stop, but okay. I know. So that's it. Now, there we go. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is this guy over here. Love. Joy. You'll see on the back sheet there, surrounding that guy. love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. And I guess there's a little more after that, 22, sorry. There it is. Yeah, see, we almost didn't get to that one. How many people have real gentle, self-controlled demeanors all the time? I don't even have that now. Not me either. Not me either. No hands went up. And you know what? See, because we all have to control that valve. We all have to renew our mind to think differently. Your thoughts will control your actions. Your actions will define your character and define who you are serving. Self, flesh, or spirit-led godliness. Titus, I'll close. Titus, there's so many scriptures. I could go for 6 weeks with this thing and just expound on it, because it just opens up such a understanding of the spiritual realm and how it's operating inside of me and what I can do to turn it on and turn it off, or it's in control of me. See, there's no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. For what the law could not do, and it was weak through the flesh, God sent his only Son to destroy the sin in the flesh so that we could be free to walk in the Spirit. So there's no condemnation to you if you're struggling with spirit, soul, and body. There's no condemnation to you. But if you want to bear fruit, if you want to live a pleasing life to God, and if you've really been born again, the Holy Spirit will start controlling you more as you yield your members to members of righteousness, not to members of sinfulness anymore, like Romans talks about, book of Romans. But in Titus chapter 2, verse 11, one of my favorite chapters to talk to people who think that grace just lets them do anything they want to do and they're still going to go to heaven. The grace of God, Titus chapter 2, verse 11, the grace of God that brings salvation, brings that born-again experience, brings that born-from-above experience, the grace of God that brings that into your life, has been revealed, has been made known to all men. Everybody has the choice. Oh, wow. Ron, awesome. The grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men. Are all men saved? No. Do all men have the opportunity to be saved? Is it the will of God that any should perish? Does God's will get done all the time?
No.
Whoa. A lot of people have trouble with that. What do you mean God's will? He's God. Hey, everything that happens, he makes it happen. You have some choices. You choose what you eat. You choose what you think. You choose how you dress. You choose what you say. God is not in control of everything. He's in control of the times, the seasons, everything in that word that's going to come to pass in the book of Revelations, the earth, the sun, the moon, the stars. But he left control of the earth up to Adam and Eve, and they gave it away. Jesus bought it back and gave it to you and me now. Kind of, that's another 6 weeks of teaching there. But anyways, you understand what I'm trying to say, though? Because people get nervous when I say that God's not in control of everything. But he is in control. He's in control of everything except the things that you don't want him to be in control of and you don't let him be in control of. Okay? And if you can realize that, you'll realize that a lot of things are up to you, the choices you make. Walk after the flesh or walk after the Spirit. So anyways, finish that verse, I know, in Titus 2:11. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that he teaches us, he leads us, and he guides us. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age. So if you're not doing that, if you're not living soberly, righteously, and godly in this present age, you are not denying ungodliness and worldly lusts. You're letting this guy have his way and do whatever he wants. See the difference? See how those scriptures come alive to what's going on with spirit, soul, and body? In this present age, the last verse, verse 13. Oh, that's 14. Go back to 13 real quick. There, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. So, the spirit part of us is in love with God, looking for all eternity to spend with him, looking always towards that hope that we have of, I'm going to be in heaven for all eternity. That's what Paul said when he said that. They would say, how do you go through all this stuff? You've been stoned, shipwrecked, fasted often, hungry often, you've been beaten up. He said, hey, none of these things move me. They don't bother me. Why? Because Because my eyes are on the prize. My eyes are on the hope. My eyes are on the glorious appearing. My eyes are on where I'm going to be for all eternity. Because I look not at the things that are seen, but the things that are unseen. For the things that are seen are temporal. Yeah. It'll come to pass. Yeah. The things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. So this treasure that's in this earthen vessel is an eternal hope. It's an eternal joy. It's an eternal peace. Most of all, it's an eternal love between you and Abba Father, who desires constant communication with you and by his Spirit all the time. Jesus said, my bread is to do the will of him who sent me. He didn't even have to eat half the time. He was like, oh, just so good to be in your presence, Father. And then he'd go out and spend. Then he'd get full. Then he'd go out and spend. Then he'd get full. But the fullness of God is his presence. Yeah. Amen, Abba? All right. I wish I could do a lot more, but you know what? I'm just so thankful for the opportunity to just share some of God's word with you. And I'm looking forward to Pastor Sam coming back, though. It's been a busy week, and so I just love him. You know, Apostle Paul told Timothy, he says, stir up that gift that's in you, which was given to you by the laying on. Your mother Eunice and your grandmother had it, your mother had it, the spirit of faith. And he said, stir up this gift that's in you that was given to you by the laying on of my hands. And if you look in Acts chapter 8, it says that the apostles came once they heard that they believed in Jesus, were baptized in the Lord Jesus Christ, but they had not yet heard of this Holy Ghost person, this Holy Spirit person, that spirit that... See, you already have that Spirit in you, but to manifest that Holy Spirit in you, to come out with the gifts of the Spirit, to speak in tongues and to have the prophecy and to lay hands on the sick and they'll recover and to take authority over all the... You have to allow that Spirit of God in you to manifest itself and come through that valve into the physical realm. Because he is available to anyone whosoever will may come and drink of the water of life freely, and he'll flow through you if you want him to. But I'm not going to go around and lay hands, because in Acts chapter 8, they called for the apostles to lay hands on them that they might receive the Holy Ghost, because they didn't even know anything about it yet. Acts chapter 19 talks about that. But they came, and they laid hands on them, and then the Holy Ghost was given to them. And the real evidence of it, you'll see in other portions, is that they spoke in tongues. And then Simon the sorcerer said, hey, I want to buy that gift. How can I get that gift when I lay hands on people? They'll get the Holy Ghost too? And he said, your money perish with you, for the gift of God is just... is without cost. So it's freely available to anyone who wants it. If you want to get more filled with the Spirit, well, yeah, you have to deny ungodliness. You have to deny worldly lust. You have to deny the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, but you will become more filled with the Spirit. And so I want to pray that prayer as I close. I'm not going to lay hands on everybody, but if you would just lift your hands up and just ask God, say, Father, I come to you today. I come to you today. Like a child. Innocent like a child who just blurts out anything they want anytime. Hallelujah. But I come before you as a child. You told me to come as a child to receive all that you have for me. I want to be filled with your Spirit more than the world, more than the flesh, and more than the lies of the devil that have been trying to control my life. And I trust you, Lord God, because I believe Jesus is my Savior. I believe he died for me. He shed his blood for me. I believe that all my sins, because I know I've sinned and come short of the glory of God. I know I've sinned, but I believe all my sins have been washed away by the sacrifice he made on Calvary. And so I know he's my Savior. I believe it, and I receive it, and I confess it in the name of Jesus Christ. And I ask for the baptism, anointing, and infilling of the Holy Ghost in my life to such a degree that I would be able to overflow and walk in the Spirit more than the flesh. I thank you, Lord, for your goodness and kindness and mercy to me. The work that's in progress in my heart, what you began, you will finish. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.